Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb in white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah! Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help sinned against you.
Hell is going on? It's Reese on the Radio. We are back. 8 o'clock weekdays, Monday through Friday, right here on Blog Talk Radio / Reese on the Radio. And of course, don't forget to check out ReeseOnTheRadio.com and email us at ReeseOnTheRadio@Yahoo.com. By the way, I had an interesting little email exchange with Bristol Palin. I will talk about that later. You know who she is, right?
Yeah, who doesn't know who she is?
Yeah, they had a little interesting exchange with Bristol Palin.
Good, I'm excited to hear about it.
Well, I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. You're excited to hear about it? You are excited to hear about it? Or
yeah, I wasn't being facetious.
Oh, okay, all right. Anyway, this is Reese.
I'm sorry, should I have said, I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah, show some damn enthusiasm.
Oh, my God, you talked to Bristol Palin.
Anyway, this is Reese on the Radio, of course, of our intrepid crew, Mary, Mary, why are you bugging? And, of course, JC, the producer's in the house as well. I saw JC had put in some intros, and I want to talk about that briefly because I saw this intro placed into our show, intros for the intrepid crew. This is JC's intro. Because it's a song by the group called the Fat Boys, or at this particular time, I think this was just about the time when they had changed their names from the Disco 3 to the Fat Boys, but one of my favorite tracks of all time. So JC has his own little, and I don't know, this is the intro he put in for Mary, Mary, Why You Bugging? I'm sorry, as far as I'm concerned, she'll always have her own intro, but I guess JC was doing something nice. Okay, and of course that is Little Mo's Superwoman, so I guess in some way he's trying to refer to Mary as a superwoman. Anyway, so moving right along.
Thanks, JC.
Anyway, moving right along. Let's get to today's stories. This Monday, March the 19th, 2012. March the 13th. Where am I? 2012. Yeah. Welcome to your week, of course, as always. I'm going to start with this Bobby Christina story because I figured we've talked about it so much at length a couple of days ago. New reports are now coming out that Bobby Christina is indeed engaged to her alleged kind of, sort of, maybe kind of stepbrother. Now, JC, I know you follow this entertainment stuff all the time. What's Media Takeout saying about this? Is she already pregnant? What's the deal with Bobby Christina, Whitney Houston's daughter?
No, she's not pregnant, however. She's not pregnant, but the ring that she's sporting as an engagement ring is one that her mom used to wear.
I hear that the ring is reportedly worth $250,000.
Yeah, but he didn't buy it.
Yeah, well, come on. What's he going to buy it with? Come on.
Trade your A ball.
And I think you said stepbrother, but it's not even step. It's adopted. I mean, I don't know what you want to call it. I guess when, like I said last week, she's basically raised her son-in-law.
Yeah, but you know, as I said a week ago, I don't make a big beef about this. They're not related, and it's not
no.
like he had come into their lives when he was five. See, this would be suspect if he'd gotten into their lives when Bobby Christina was five and he was seven. Or let's say she was
right.
three and he was five, where she didn't know any better. A nine-year-old girl knows you're not my real brother. A nine-year-old girl understands, okay, you've got a different mom and dad. What happened to you? Well, my mom can't take care of me anymore. You're 10. And we're talking about a 10-year-old 10 years ago, which is... Pardon me, 2002.
He was 12.
Well, yeah, sorry. Well, she was 9. He was 12. We're talking about the internet age. We're talking about the kids who, you know, 2002, these kids are playing PlayStation and Nintendo. You know, these kids aren't dumb.
And house, obviously.
And, yeah, obviously playing house. It's not like
playing house in the 80s, too.
But the point is that she's not dumbfounded. She's not confused about her relationship with this young man. I'm sure that Whitney didn't convince her, well, you have to treat this boy as your brother, or, you know, the constant reminder. Bobby Christina knew what he was. He was living in a house, mom's taking care of him, and you're a part of our family, but you're not my blood. And if she had an attraction for
him. And he really kind of entered her life at her age of the beginning of her curiosities,
self-discovery.
And probably about the beginning of his own.
Self-discovery as a young lady, him as a young boy, he's 12 years old. Let's not mention the racial component here. They're black.
Well,
which means that they're black.
He was probably consoling her while Bobby and...
No, we're talking about when they were 12.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. They're 12,
no,
they're 12 and 9.
Reese, when you think about it, if you think about it, look at it this way. Had he been with his mom and his pops, and they just came over like to play bridge or spades... With Whitney, he's 12, she's 9.
Spades, going to smoke her 8-ball.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, something like that. And he's 12 and she's 9. It's like, oh, look, they got a crush on each other. Look how they're playing. You know what I mean?
Right. But they probably did.
It wouldn't be a difference.
But I don't like, I think that this is, again, it's manufactured, as I also said last week. I think people are going to keep trumpeting this whole idea if her stepbrother or adopted brother, or they're going to keep using this word brother in order to sensationalize the relationship between the both of them. These two know that they're not related. These two probably liked each other for a long time, cared about each other for a long time, and this sort of media sort of infatuation with having to call him brother, 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 so they can then make her out to be some freakazoid. Is the part that I don't like.
Well, having Bobby and Whitney as your mother and father already made you out to look like a freakazoid.
I think that that's manufactured as well through the press. It's sort of using that relationship to say, look, they raised this girl to believe that a kid who's supposed to be her stepbrother is some sort of romantic, or somebody that she can have romantic feelings for. Ooh, look at the horrible job that these two did. Look how horrible they were.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was talking about the way that she looked.
Oh.
I was like, where is he going with this? I was confused. I was talking about the way that she looked.
What do you mean the way she looked? You're saying that she's...
I mean, she's weird looking. You have to admit it. She's not a very attractive girl.
Really?
Do you think that she's attractive? I mean, she has that Bobby Brown gap.
I'm not into black
girls. You've got money. Can't you get that fixed, boo? Go
Invisalign
to the dentist.
Invisalign or something?
I mean, go have them pulled out and, I don't know, put in veneers or something. Go do something.
Wow. We weren't even going in that direction.
Oh, maybe she was too young for that kind of cosmetic work.
A freakazoid, and that's what I thought about.
Well, saying that they were freakazoid. Go ahead.
No, I know, but.
Go ahead, JC. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, but it's like, maybe they thought she was too young for that kind of cosmetic work. But then again, who doesn't get braces when you're a kid? All they need was braces.
You're never too young for work on your teeth, ever, when your mouth looks like that.
Right. Just moving on.
Her eyes are so far apart. Her nose is like very awkward. She's just an awkward looking kid.
What's that got to do with the fact that she's, you know, with this boy?
You said freakazoid. I said that.
I think she's
kind of
cute.
I thought about the way she looks. Oh, God, JC.
She's cute in a little mo kind of way.
Cute and like a little, she's still a little, to me, she's a little girl. I could be her mother. But, I don't know.
So what do you think? You think they'll get engaged? You think they are engaged? You think they'll get married? What do you think, JC?
Do you think that when he kisses her, she'll turn into a princess?
Stop it. That's just mean. What do you think, JC? Do you think that something will actually happen?
I think so. Honestly, I do.
So you think they'll get married?
If not, then Christians are gonna push her to do it.
Well, it seems like our family is 100% against it, and I think
that's making her 1,000% for it because you know she's a rebel.
Right, and I think Mary sort of hit it on the head last week as well when Mary said that, you know, look, I'm 19 years old. You know, I'll do what it is that I want to do and sort of like say, screw you, Grandma. You know, I'm a grown young woman. I can do whatever it is I like. So I think she's sort of taken that approach to this because...
I doubt that it even went down anything like that, but... Okay.
Well, I'm sure that's their stand. I heard that the... What's the boy's name?
What is that kid's
Gordon
name?
Gordon something.
No,
it's... Yeah, it's something Gordon.
Eric Gordon.
What's his name?
Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
Eric Gordon.
I heard he's since shut down his Twitter account, so he's no longer Twittering. And so he's pretty much like shut this down.
And he himself is not a bad-looking kid.
Okay. I mean, okay. But I don't know. I think that they're too young. I think with everything that's gone on with Whitney Houston, it's... What, has it been a month? Has it been a month since her death?
They're on a roller coaster ride right now.
Yeah, I think so. I think that there's an emotional high. Very well put, Mary. I think if they're on an emotional high,
they're
she's still
all
grieving.
This media.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's taking away from having to really, truly grieve about her mother being gone. He's there for her. He's picking up the pieces. He knows what she's going through. She's being rebellious. She's got all this money.
And he's been there for her during the whole drug-induced stupors.
And, I mean, he's probably a good plumber.
Did you really have to go there? Did you really have to go there?
How old is she, 19?
Yeah.
And he's 21, 22?
But did you have to go there?
Hey, you know, it is what it is. A girl's got to have what she's got to have.
Goodness gracious. You know, I mean, I don't understand why you would even have to go there.
Because she's our superwoman.
Why not?
She's all over the place at the same time. She's our superwoman.
Anyway.
I'm what, JC?
All over the place at the same time.
Our superwoman.
I love big booty. This guy has on his T-shirt.
Anyway.
On the welfare line.
Yeah, that's
talking about
report.
Give me my check.
Anyway, let's stick to topic. Anyway, so if they do get married, how soon are we talking about them getting married?
Well, nobody knows that yet.
We're going to find out about it maybe 2 weeks after the fact.
You think they'll do Vegas like Britney Spears and...
I think they said they were going to Vegas. I think I saw
something. That's right. That was one of the Twitters last week that they were going to Vegas. That was one of the tweets. That's exactly right.
They're already married. Maybe they did it already.
I don't think that they're going to be married.
Do you think that they waited? Do you think that, you know, she's
still pure? I think that they'll be married in a month. And I believe she'll be pregnant by the end of the year.
I'm sure they consummated already.
Well, yeah. What do you mean? What's consummated? They haven't been married yet.
Well, what I'm saying is, do you think that she's still a virgin?
Oh, I know she's not a virgin. Give me a break. Her?
You can say that, but I was being, you know, when
she's
I was talking
black.
About her faith.
She's a black girl.
No, it's not about her being a black
sure
girl.
Sure it is.
What are you talking
she's
about?
She's a black girl.
So I lost, I'm sorry, wait, whoa. What does that have anything to do with her losing her virginity already? Because she's black.
Black girls are a little loosey-goosey.
You don't, and white girls are not loosey-goosey?
Not the way the black girls are.
Wow, you think that?
Are you nuts?
I know that.
Are you out of
your freaking mind on that one?
Mind?
I'm telling you that.
What do you think? We should catch a bus to the suburbs.
I mean,
to the movies.
What
are
you trying to start a war?
No, I'm saying that on average, black girls are a little more loosey-goosey than white girls.
You are so lost in the sauce for a man that only feels like white women.
And Latino women are even more loosey-goosey than black girls.
That's because a lot. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to say that.
Don't you know? Do you know what you call a Puerto Rican girl on her 14th birthday?
What?
Mommy.
Oh, I don't think that was very funny. But you can't say that. I was saying that.
What?
Like, I don't think she's a virgin because she's already done coke.
So she's black.
She's already. No, it has nothing to do with her being black.
What does that have to do with anything?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, James.
I didn't say it has to do with anything.
A lot of my black girlfriends stayed virgins for longer than I did.
Oh, wow.
I lost my virginity. No, I'm not an authority. Oh, but so you
wait,
are?
Wait, hold on.
So you're an authority?
Yeah, of course I am.
You're an authority.
Absolutely.
Why? Because you're black and you're talking
He's
about
He's an authority.
Black.
Wait a minute. You're
what
an authority.
Hold on.
Ooh, let me get in on this one.
Okay. You guys talk. You don't think I'm the authority? I just asked
I know you, that you're not the authority.
Really? You said you know that I'm not the authority?
No.
Oh, my Robert. No. Tell me. You said you know a lot of black girls. No. You said you know a lot of black girls, okay?
A lot of my girlfriends.
You said you know a lot
growing
of black girls,
up that
virgin.
Were African American.
And then I
stayed
asked
virgins
you, right.
longer than myself or any other white any
and
of the other
I
white
said
girls
to you, and then
that
I
were
said
in our
you,
clique.
I said to you, so that makes you an authority.
No,
and then you retorted by saying, "And you're an authority," and I said, "Yes." Why would I say that I was an authority?
I have no idea.
Take a wild guess.
Because you're going to throw out some numbers.
Goddamn right. Because the numbers don't lie.
But the people that write the numbers do.
What
do
you
think? Oh my God. Oh my God, she used my line.
The people who write the numbers. So you don't trust the numbers?
No,
you don't
it's
trust
not
the
that I don't. Listen, they're only polling certain people. If you're going to give me some poll
it's
numbers.
It's not a poll. I don't do
okay,
polls.
Okay, what is it?
I do polls. What I do are stats.
Okay.
And hold on.
But how do they get statistics?
Can I say something?
I do better
from
than
getting from doing polling.
I do better than just get stats. We're not talking
it's
about
it's coming from the crossover Negro.
That's correct.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
Okay,
so how
can you say that black women are a little more loosey-goosey? All right, when your main experience from your own lips have been with white girls.
That doesn't mean that I've never, ever been with black girls.
But you've been with more white women than you've been with black women.
This is true.
And, hold on.
But
also
I'm not
the
being,
big thing of how
many black women out of those 30?
Guys, hold on for a second. I am not in any way saying that my numbers have anything to do with my personal experience. My personal experience would be tunnel vision if I said because of the girls that I've been involved with. And for you to say, because of all the black girls that you meant, as if that held some water, all the black women that you knew. What I said was, majority of women I've dated are white women, but I still know that the numbers don't lie and that more black girls lose their virginity faster than white girls in this country.
Are they losing their virginity? Who are they losing their virginity to? At what? Is it because they choose to? Is it because of abuse?
No. First of all, the numbers are based upon actively sexual teens. And they break it down by not just age, but they break it down by race. And it is broken down by race. And the numbers stay the same every time. Latinos are higher than blacks. Blacks are higher than whites in this country. Always about promiscuity. Every time.
And about promiscuity, and I hate to say it, but with promiscuity, I have to agree with Mary. You know, it's blacks and Latinos, for some reason, aren't afraid to say so.
Hold on. Mary and I just saw a movie the other day called What's Your Number?
Yeah.
And it was a Harvard Law study based upon this movie, right? Asking how many people the girl had slept with by a certain age. And they said the average was 10.5.
No, it was like in a lifetime.
Yeah,
the
in a
average
lifetime,
was
10.5.
Yeah.
But yet, that same study actually says for African-American women, the number's higher. In fact, it's over 18, the average for black women. So all I said was that she's black and she's 19 years old, and I was certain there was no way she could be a virgin at that age. Because statistically, African-American girls lose their virginity faster than white girls. Here's why. More white girls fall under the grouping of what? Christian values.
What?
Yes, absolutely. The largest group of white girls who stay virgins are Christians. And what's the number of that percentage in this country? 211 million white people in this country. What do you
how
think?
How many of them are actually lying? No,
you can't. See, this is what I always say. James, I give you the numbers, and then you make a baseless comment like, how many of them are lying? Well, you know what? You'd be the worst prosecutor in the world because you could just say somebody's lying about something and they'd get arrested. You don't have any facts on whether or not they're lying. You just say, oh, they could be. So let's make that a fact. They could be lying, so let's deal with those facts. I'm giving you factual numbers based upon the research that's been done. I'm telling you to look the numbers up yourself. And what do you say? Well, they could be lying. Whoa. Well, in that case, throw them
out. No, whoa.
Wait, James, let me get in here real quick. You and I just sat here and read how corrupt the news or whoever did a
the system period.
Government corruption.
And, right.
Who do you think researches this information?
It's about corruption, about whether or not it's being prosecuted in each state. We're not talking about whether or not.
Okay,
actual,
so imagine
complete,
that
again
in every other aspect.
Completely different argument. JC, do you want to chime in on this?
JC, hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you want to chime in on this?
Yes, actually, I do.
Yeah.
This is actually coming from someone, and I'm listening to you, who teaches, I'm not going to say, pretty much teaches how the media sometimes skews news stories to fit their situation.
Oh, no, I'm
and
not.
These polls that you're reading from are done for what reason? More than likely for the news.
Actually, no. This wasn't something I got from the news. This was not even a census report.
What was it?
This was an actual CDC report based upon children in this country, and it's done every year, and the information is released in the National Almanac.
But where
every
are they getting
year.
That
and
information?
And Reese, I'm going to stick to I'm going to stick to
records.
The fact that statistically
where are they getting that
there
info?
Are more of them than there are us. So if one of us is doing it, at least two of them are.
No. I didn't say, see? The question was whether or not, I didn't say more white girls lose their virginity. I said, because of course, the numbers would support what? There are many more white girls who are virgins, but I said the national number of people who lose their virginity at a certain age, the number is higher.
But where are they getting the information from?
I'll get you.
But, okay, I understand it's in the almanac.
Yeah,
but
from
where is
the
almanac? From
the Center for Disease Control.
And where is the
and
Center
the Health
for,
and Human Services
on.
Department.
And where are they gathering that information from?
Where do you think you get it from?
Where
would
medical
you
records?
Yes. Polling.
You can't
no,
access
not polling.
People's
sure
medical. No, you
absolutely
cannot.
You can.
It is against
sure
the law.
Can. How about people who are Medicaid?
No, you cannot.
How can you not?
You cannot.
People are on Medicaid, you can?
No, you cannot.
You sure?
People that are on Medicaid have, I'm telling you.
Oh, please.
Who
I'm
do you think writes the HIPAA Act?
First of all, the HIPAA Act and whether or not you're talking
please
about.
Please get into
whoa,
this with me.
You're talking about the HIPAA Act. I'm talking about the Health and Human Services Department.
You cannot
okay.
gather patients'
okay.
personal medical
okay. Okay.
records
okay.
for any.
Okay.
You cannot
based
do that
upon,
without
wait, wait, wait,
the person's
what
permission.
About the, what about the Center for Disease Control?
Without their permission,
how do we get a number on how many people have HIV/AIDS in this country if you're saying the HIPAA Act says we can't?
Listen.
How do we get the numbers if we can't?
Listen.
You're saying we can't access that. How do we keep a registered number of how many people have HIV and AIDS in this country if we're not allowed their medical records?
We're not allowed their medical records to see whether they are having sex or not.
Again, how do we get the numbers?
Those are for
people?
HIV. That is for HIV.
What's
that?
That's
is
a medical
not
record.
Reese.
Doesn't
HIV,
it all fall under the HIPAA Act?
No.
It doesn't?
Not. I don't want to speak on HIV because I don't know. That may
okay,
be,
look.
That doesn't
go ahead,
fall
James.
Under that.
Go ahead. I think I've made
I don't want to, you know, I don't even want to get into the numbers and everything because what I take is, again, yeah, you're right, my own personal experience. And there is a fact, or there was a longstanding unspoken rule that a couple of years ago, a lot of black men were getting with white women. There was a reason for that.
Okay. Because,
okay. So.
But again, you're talking about black men. What I was saying was, and again, back to Bobby Christina, I said she was a 19-year-old black girl, therefore still a teenager. The likelihood that as a teenager she would have had sex already at the age of 19 was higher than if she was a white girl.
Okay. Now, see, that I'm saying is the whole black-white thing was my bit of contention here. Because here it is. I know a whole lot of black men were getting with black women specifically because it was easier to get with black with white women than it was with black women. That was one of the whole points.
I think what people are forgetting is that the fact is, and as I've always said, that in order to make what it is that I said wrong, in order to make what I said wrong was to follow the numbers. That's all I'm asking is to follow the numbers. So what I'll do is we'll take a break. JC, see if you can look up rate of sex among the races and look up female girls versus female black girls versus female white girls. And we'll just put an end to the argument here. But I know.
Frankly, I don't think we should limit ourselves between black and white.
Reese.
Look, a lot of women.
Here's
period,
the problem. Here's the problem with
that,
Reese.
Go on.
Okay, but let me chime in here real quick. The problem with that is, I think that we're the ones that aren't trusting the actual results of these polls. Or where they're getting their information from.
Nothing is new under the sun that you and James and Mary would not trust the polls. It's nothing. It's
we're
nothing
gonna
new
the
to
same
me.
Numbers that you found.
But again, nothing new under the sun. I hear this all the time, and my favorite part about your argument is that it's always the same thing over and over again. You can't trust the people who wrote them books. And then they always cite another book. And what I always laugh about that is like, when I never said you cited another book. I'm just saying the people who always say that to me always cite another book. Like the book that they're reading is always way more relevant or way more accurate than the book that I cite. I don't cite propaganda. I never have. I never will. I don't cite propaganda. I don't.
No one is saying
hold
that
on, hold
you
on,
are
on.
Citing propaganda.
Okay, but my point is if I say something, trust. That I would never ever give you something based upon someone's leaned or propagandized
skewed
skewed, better word, skewed poll. I don't give those numbers based on that. Sometimes the hard facts may be something you disagree with, but I promise you, if you look them up, you'll find out I'm right. That's why I said don't. You can base them on what it is your personal. I don't have that tunnel vision. I get the facts before I open my mouth.
See, but the thing is, what I'm saying is you and your numbers are a form of tunnel vision because I base my opinion on what I see when I walk out my front door. Okay?
Oh, come on,
you can quote me numbers. You can quote me numbers. But if I see differently when I walk out my own door, when I'm dealing with people, then I can truly say, well, then I don't see how your numbers could possibly be right, or at least as right as you think.
All right. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll look at the numbers. And then we'll talk about Oprah Winfrey and some other news. It's Free Zone Radio, 8 o'clock now, right here on blogtalkradio.com. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back 36 minutes after the hour on this Monday. Welcome to your week, March the 19th, 2012. You sure you don't want to go over these numbers again?
No, it's in black and white. I can see it.
What, you are sure you don't want to add those numbers up?
I don't.
What does, when you add up those numbers, am I right, though?
I don't know.
Come on, let's do the numbers.
Go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Folks, we're having a debate. We, of course, we're talking about Bobby Christina, the daughter of Whitney Houston, the late Whitney Houston. And I mentioned the fact that she was 19 years old, and the question was whether or not she was having sex. And I said more than likely, because she's black. So the breakdown that they had here, and this was content of sex and adolescent sexual activity.
Yeah, but this was just some paper. Or some study or whatever that some professor did.
Okay, well, fine. Well, they're just talking about test statistics for interaction of race with independent variables and coefficients for race-differentiated variables. Adolescent women in the United States, and this is a study from 1982.
Yeah, this
okay?
is reputable.
So I'm just, it's 1982, right?
Yeah.
So I took the numbers and I
some
said
30 years ago
2777, right? And let's just plus this out. 1866. And the numbers I'm reading you is from 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Okay? 14 years old, 1178 is the number. 15 years old,
739.
Thank you.
16,394.
394.
17,134. 18,23.
What was that? 18?
And actually, these are percentages.
Oh, yeah, they're only percentages. Damn it! We don't even have the numbers right.
Oh, you were the jackrabbit.
Well, anyway, it came to 788. And that's for blacks from 12 to 18. So 7,088. Okay?
That's not really right. Cause it's a, it's
okay,
a
whatever. Let's go. For whites, let's go 3,490.
2,287.
2,287. Oh, crap. Hold on. What was
3,490.
2,287.
Read the number. Okay, all right, add it up again. Let me add it up since
you
want to say that it's wrong. Hold on.
Just get to my damn
No, I can't see it.
Anyway.
Stop it.
$34.90.
You deal with that so I can work on the other story, please.
Okay, that's fine.
Anyway.
But you can't change the...
It was reported today that Oprah Winfrey has canceled the Rosie O'Donnell show off the OWN network and has fired 30 staff members. 30 staff members at the OWN network. Now, here's my question to the crew. And I think it's a legitimate question. Is it because Oprah Winfrey backed Barack Obama that she is now stealing? Okay, all right, fine. You might be right. We're still going to get the new numbers.
I'm right. We're right. Okay. James, we're right.
Yeah, you're not right by much. We'll get the right numbers. Is it because Oprah Winfrey supported Barack Obama and now some three years later, that people become disenfranchised with Obama, that they kind of blame her for their endorsement of her and have left her show and her network in droves? Now, I say this because of this. Before Oprah Winfrey ended on ABC or her syndicated show, The Oprah Winfrey Show, it had turned out that her ratings had plummeted. In fact, one of the most dismal times during her final shows on her Oprah Winfrey Show, when it was on regular syndication, was when she refused to bring Sarah Palin on the show, and a lot of her audience were outraged that to be a show about women and the fact that so many women supported Sarah Palin, refusing to put Sarah Palin on, the backlash was so enormous, people started leaving Oprah Winfrey's show in droves, and then after the backlash, finally put Sarah Palin on. So again, my question is, Oprah Winfrey, such a staunch supporter of Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, now some 3 years later, after launching her networks, have people left her in droves because they feel as though some sort of buyer remorse?
I don't think so. I just think that her network sucks.
Oh, my God.
You think? Hold on.
No, wait a minute. I'm an Oprah Winfrey fan. I like Oprah.
Okay.
Love her. Watched her on syndicated TV for years. Years. Love her. A huge fan.
Okay.
But the OWN network?
You think it was just poor investment?
I would say, yeah, I don't get it.
She probably sank too much money in it to begin with.
It's got nothing to do with that.
Well, she didn't sink the money into it. The Discovery Channel was the one who put the $500 million to back the OWN network launching.
Well, boo-boo.
And,
well, see, that's sad because,
discovered it was
everybody now.
And again, the OWN network wasn't...
Hold on, guys. Please acknowledge when someone's speaking, let them finish. James, hold on for a second. Let JC go.
I believe that everybody's now getting their own network. So it can't be that expensive.
$500 million isn't a lot.
What's that?
$500 million isn't a lot to start to launch a network, especially a basic cable network. So, yeah, it was pennies to the Discovery Channel.
But
it's only
on the same token,
you don't lose. They better break even.
But James,
it's Oprah.
Pardon?
They're always going to break even. It's Oprah.
Well,
but even Oprah's OWN network has to go by the fact that she wasn't getting the numbers. This had nothing to do with Obama. It had nothing to do with that. The fact of the matter is, she wasn't getting the ratings.
Why? Because
her network sucks.
But no, I'm saying
no.
Why?
Not the network. See, the thing is, the network is not in jeopardy. It was her OWN. It was the Rosie O'Donnell show.
But even
not putting it on a broad scope here. This is Rosie O'Donnell, the show.
Oh, no, James.
This goes way beyond
the
Rosie
whole
O'Donnell.
Network is failing.
Yeah, the whole network is failing.
The ratings are extremely low.
Yeah, I mean, everything that she's put on the show has failed miserably. While that being said, every byproduct of Oprah is skyrocketing. Dr. Phil, number one syndicated show. Rachel Ray, number Dr. 3 Oz. Syndicated show. Dr. Oz, number 5 syndicated show. Every one of her shows, or even Nate Berkus, is making some noise on NBC, and nobody watches that show.
I don't like that.
So every one of Oprah's sort of offshoots are still flourishing. So the Oprah brand, Harpo Studios, does well. This is the reason why I ask, is because, look, the first sign of the demise of the Oprah Winfrey Show, and a lot of people took notice of this, especially the Hollywood Reporter, especially TV by the Numbers. They were the first people to report this, that once Oprah refused to have Sarah Palin on, she put a memo out that people got wind of that said that she would not have Sarah Palin on, even after the election of Barack Obama, that she would not have Sarah Palin on, and her audience went nuts. They all literally backlashed, and then she finally brought Sarah Palin on, and her ratings skyrocketed and then plummeted again. She got 26 million viewers when Sarah Palin came on the show. And then after that, her ratings continued to plummet. So what I'm asking is, could partisanship on the part of an entertainer, because that's what Oprah is, showing your partisanship can cause you to lose your viewership. What I'm saying is, don't have any political leanings, because this has hurt other people. 50 Cent had the highest selling album of all time, or biggest debut ever, 750,000 records sold on Get Rich and Die Trying. The minute that he did that Vote or Die campaign with P. Diddy, the next album he came out with, his record sales plummeted.
That has nothing. Okay. Frankly, again, you're adding apples to oranges. And you're also dealing with a fan base that is very, very fickle. All right? They want to hear what brought you to the dance.
James, the show had been on for 25 years. It never saw. The show had been on for 25 years. At the time of the Sarah Palin debacle, she had been on for 22 years. The woman had been around for eons. There was no that what
right, she and she weathered that storm.
She weathered the storm, but her ratings continued to decline afterwards because she showed partisanship. She left with her ratings plummeting. As soon as Oprah Winfrey got,
because she showed part. Maybe you can say that, but again, this was Oprah Winfrey, where, you know, just her mentioning your company's name guaranteed an upsurge in sales.
Okay.
Well, James, if that wasn't it, then it's a hell of a coincidence.
Yeah, that, again, thank you. That's why I asked the question. Could it have happened?
How was it a coincidence? How is it a coincidence when her ratings have gone down, period? I mean, with the whole...
Let me give you another one, James.
With the whole thing about beef.
Yeah, but I don't think that the network is failing because of her partisanship. The network is failing simply because the ideas
and
whatever the shows on the network are horrible.
No, we were talking about like her last few seasons.
I understand that, but no, we're talking about the network.
But overall, the network is garbage.
It's not doing good. That's what we originally were talking about.
Right.
And you're trying to say that it has something to do with her partisanship, that even before she started the network, her show was already plummeting. The ratings were already plummeting. But I'm telling you right now, the only reason the OWN network is not doing good, because regardless, if it was good and it was interesting and it made people want to watch whatever the shows are that's on it, they would watch it regardless.
Ooh.
There it is.
Well, wait. So then I'll make this argument. When the Rosie O'Donnell show...
They're not boycotting her.
No. When the Rosie O'Donnell show started, Rosie's opening numbers were 500,000 viewers.
Uh-huh.
So there was an appeal there. Is that fair to say?
To Rosie
O'Donnell. Yeah. That appeal only lasted so long.
A month.
When you only deal with that, right, when that's the only thing about your show, and as you said, the opening numbers, I still have yet to hear about the rest of the show.
Well, okay, fine. Then I'll go this route. The reason why I say this, a perfect example of this, when Rosie had her own show, the Rosie Show originally, when she had her syndicated show.
It was a great show.
It was a great show.
It was great. She was fun. She was, you know, whatever.
Everything was talking about she was the nicest person in the world. Everybody loved her show. I watched her show religiously. When I worked nights, I watched it during the daytime. Loved her show. Now, that being said, then Rosie O'Donnell has an exchange with the actor Tom Selleck, who at the time, and you can watch the video on YouTube, she has an exchange with Tom Selleck, who comes out to promote a show he had on CBS, that detective show he does. Not the police drama. He does this recurring sort of detective show on CBS.
It's a
like
mountain type show.
Yeah, CBS movie.
It's
thing.
Park Ranger or something.
Yeah. And anyway, so he came on to promote the movie that he was doing on CBS. During the time that he was on there, he was also the president of the National Rifle Association. Rosie, instead of talking to him about what he was there to promote, started to lay into him about guns and about gun violence. The backlash was enormous because people didn't understand why Rosie was starting to be political, why she was starting to have this conversation about social and political views. People were also saying that about her show on Oprah's network, where she started talking about her personal life with being a lesbian. People were not ready for it because she was showing partisanship.
No.
And she wasn't. This is
I don't think it was partisanship. It was the show went away from what brought it to the dance. It was a variety show, a show about entertainment. And as you said, when she started to get preachy, then the show dipped. But you can say that about any other show. You can say that about Bill Cosby. You can say that about any other show.
Yeah,
right?
when the objective changes, things happen.
Again, so it sounds like you're agreeing with me that, you know, you leave with who you leave with who you brought to the dance, as you put it, and I'm paraphrasing there because I forget how you put it, but yeah. I get what you're saying, but here's my problem with all of that. Didn't Oprah Winfrey show extreme partisanship by doing fundraisers for Barack Obama? Wasn't she at camping?
It had nothing to do with Barack Obama because her politics didn't have anything to do with it until it started affecting the show, all right? If it did. And again, I still have to say that on the OWN network, okay, I also feel it's very telling that with all the people she brought out, Rachel Ray, Dr. Phil, Nate Berkus, Dr. Oz, you notice how many of them are actually on her network?
Zero.
Well, actually, they've all been on her network. Well, you mean have a regular
all been
show?
On her show?
No, no, no. On her regular network, no.
Or they have the what's the term? The they're showing the repeats of shows you saw on NBC, ABC, CBS.
Right. Right. You're absolutely right.
These are shows that they've already seen.
I understand that. But, again, okay. Go ahead, JC. I'm sorry. I've already said what you said. Go on.
No, I was going to say, with the Oprah Winfrey Show itself, she ended her show with what she came to the dance with.
Right.
And her ratings still declined.
Her ratings still
and you really can't lie with those numbers. I mean, those numbers really don't lie, and it really kind of happened. Like I said, if it's because she showed partisanship, or if not, it had to have been a huge, huge coincidence, because that is when it started to
decline. Well, it's not such a huge coincidence, though. It's not, because, again, here it is. People are starting to see that she is just resting on her name. That's it. There's really no new shows on the OWN network. It's just her and the show she used to do on ABC. You know, they're basically showing stuff you've already seen. There's nothing new about it.
So you're saying your contention is that you don't believe that there was anything whatsoever about partisanship that played any role in her decline in numbers. You don't believe
no,
that anybody cares.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Mary?
No.
No.
What about you, JC?
I kind of agree with you.
I just say, when you're in the business where you are to entertain all, and you want to talk about topics, no matter what the subject matter is, if you want to talk about, you know, children with illnesses, if you want to talk about relief in Haiti, if you want to talk about poor people in this country, if you want to talk about fads and jeans and women's with the, you know, get the right bra, and you want to talk about looking, you know, fit at 50 and all that other stuff that Oprah was doing, I think she was doing fine. I think when she brought on celebrities, that was fine. Who's debuting their new album? Whatever that stuff was, she was doing fine. You know, Oprah's road trip meeting with different people like the Amish and the Quakers, that was fine. But I think once she started getting in the political realm and she showed any partisanship.
Hold on, Ray's, because the thing is, when she was talking about the Amish and everything you said, it's still a political standpoint. It was.
I don't think so.
And that was fine. You said yourself that was fine.
How is that
political?
Until
she started talking about...
No. Because not too many people understand about the Amish or the Amish way of living.
She was bringing attention.
And a lot
to
of people found
Amish
that fascinating.
People.
So it made for a good story for TV. The thing is, whether she liked or disliked George Bush during his entire presidency, she kept it to herself.
Right, and she never even right.
But
and
she didn't.
Had she not gone out when Barack started to run, then and kept her political views to herself, she probably would have left out stronger than she did.
I agree. I totally agree with that. I think if she'd stayed out of political fray, you don't pick sides. Because remember, politics, you know what they always say, we never discuss politics or religion because it's bound to end up in a fight. And I think in this particular case, what Oprah Winfrey
does... But she's made a career about doing the same. How is it now?
When? Oprah's been on... When? Did she do this with Bill Clinton?
Huh?
Did she do this when Clinton ran? No, she didn't. Did she do this with Bush versus Kerry? No, she didn't. She didn't. She didn't show any partisanship with anyone. Remember, the woman's been around for 25 years.
How is it then that when the people she backed... Yeah, she did. Because
who you back personally, James, is your right. No one should ever cite her or make an opinion of who it is that she decides to defend or promote in her personal level. But when she brings that
started to use her name.
To the show, when she's inviting celebrities to a $10 million fundraiser, telling the people there from Toni Braxton, Mariah Carey, Gladys Knight, even I believe Whitney was even there, telling each and every one of them, we have Alicia
people
Keys.
She's invited to her show.
No, these were she
people
private...
that when she's invited them to her show given them a standpoint to promote or either promote or what's the word I'm looking for? Give their point of view on their way of seeing things. Okay? When she brought Wow. I can't believe I'm having a brain fart.
Right. All right. All right. Let's take a break.
No, no, but hold on. Okay, before we go, I think what Reese is referring to, James, is when she had that huge fundraiser at the Promised Land Estate.
That's right. That's exactly what
I'm talking about. And then did a show on it.
Exactly.
She should have just left well enough alone in terms of politics.
Exactly. She should have never ever brought her
politics. Well, when she brought her, you know, when she made the school in Africa, okay, she did that then. Everybody was defending her.
But that's separate.
But people
that's
were
separate.
Saying,
look,
you know,
look.
Well, why is it about just girls and not men?
Right. You're absolutely right. We'll get into that when we come back. Let's get to the top of the hour. We'll be back shortly. It's Reese on the Radio. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb in peace before the snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help send against you.
Reese.
Reese on the Radio, and we're back 1 minute after the hour on this. Welcome to your Monday, March the 19th, 2012. Now it's 2 minutes after. Apparently, it's the heated discussion that I even brought up on Paul Winfrey. There's a reason why I did, and again, I still believe that it is. James brought up something very important, and I thought this was another valid point that he brought up. Not that he and I are going to agree on it, but it was a very valid point. There was contentious debate about Oprah Winfrey when she did build that school in Africa. And the arguments were all over the place. One of the biggest arguments in the beginning was, oh, why is it a school for girls? And she dismissed that valid enough. She's a girl. She believes that African girls, you know, have the hardest time getting an education in Africa, where, you know, there's a lot of women or girls are second class, third class citizens in Africa. Fine. So she made her case and people backed off from that. And that's true. She wants to help little girls. That's absolutely fine. Then the biggest argument, the one that I believe that she was unable to get away from, was the fact that they asked, you give $42 million to this school in Africa. Why didn't you help young urban kids in America who needed an education? Her response to that was, says she thought about it, but she said that most of the kids that she ran into were more interested in iPods and sneakers and weren't interested in education. Then the backlash got worse, because the second backlash to that was her response to Diane Sawyer was, you know, you can't tell me what to do with my money. So then it was defiance. So fine, I commend her. You're right. You can do whatever it is that you want with your money. But I do have an issue with what she said about young urban kids. All they cared about was iPods and sneakers. Well, look, you're Oprah. You're Harpo Productions. If you don't want to give kids $48 million or $42 million in this country, you still walked away from the scene of a crime. And I've said this over and over again, and JC can attest to this. You walked away from the scene of a crime. You did. If you saw a kid running out into the street, you saw a car coming, and because it's not your kid, your natural reaction would be to grab the kid and keep him from getting hit by a car. Well, you're Oprah Winfrey. If you saw that kids only cared about sneakers and iPods and didn't give a damn about education,
you've got a TV show, stupid.
You should start doing special reports about how kids aren't paying attention to education. Wouldn't that be a good thing to do? Sure, spend your $42 million over to Africa, but you don't leave the scene of a crime. And the crime that's happening is that urban kids are not being educated in this country, and you had to fall. You have a highly rated television show.
She went from one scene of a crime to another.
To another. Just walked away from it. Well, you know, they were only interested in iPods and sneakers. Well, blah, 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 blah. They're not interested in education? Well, you have a forum to change that. Don't you?
Well, she did, but it's her money. She can do whatever it is she wants.
I didn't say anything about her money. She can still give her $42 million, but she could do a damn show or some specials and talk to some people about what they're doing to get more and more kids involved in education. James, agree or disagree?
Yes, I agree. I agreed with the whole thing. But it also leads back to what I said before. Now you're saying it's about her political views on Obama and all that. All right, but there are times when, you know, even in that one, she was like, okay, well, you know what? It seemed like it was a slap in the face. Well, here it is. You see a problem right here in the country that gave you your name.
That's right.
That gave you your name. These are parents, men and women, of the children that are being forgotten about, or not even forgotten about, but, you know, the whole thing where, you know, our kids are more interested in iPods and this and that. So you go away from that, you see a problem there, and you walk away from that.
But again, I've scrutinized this woman for that because, again, as I've always scrutinized Oprah Winfrey, it's because, again, people respect her, adore her, look to her, believe in what she preaches. Some people treat her like a deity. And
I don't know.
Yes,
but
they are. Yes, they
actually
do.
She has more influence than some of our political leaders.
Absolutely right, James, which is why I brought up the point about whether or not her partisanship in publicly supporting a presidential candidate and not giving others like McCain and Palin equal time. By not doing that, I think that what she did was show partisanship, and that may have alienated certain people. Because look, you know, Republicans watch Oprah too. And, you know, I always go back to that whole thing about Michael
right.
Jordan. Michael Jordan, I always mention that. When they was asked to support a black candidate running in North Carolina to run against Jesse Helms. And they asked him, hey, look, you were an alumni of North Carolina. You know, why won't you support this black candidate? And Michael Jordan's response was, Republicans buy sneakers too.
True.
And what do you think black
people? But just because you're buying my sneakers doesn't mean I have to agree with everything you say.
Right, no. But again, what he was saying was he wasn't going to be partisan. He's saying, no, I'm not going to join a political campaign because Republicans buy sneakers too. Once I show my partisanship, people take that personally.
But
that
again,
you're still
trying to add apples to oranges.
Oprah had already done so numerous times. When, James? Who did she ever show partisanship to before the election in 2008? She'd never done it. And most smart businessmen never do it. They never do it. Any smart businessman knows. I don't know. It would be like only selling to Christians and not Muslims, or only selling to Muslims and not Christians. That kind of partisanship will destroy you as a brand because people aren't looking at you for what it is that your personal beliefs are, as long as you show that you care about everybody.
But it didn't. And again, like what happened with the Beef Association, She made an offhand comment about beef, and everybody was, you know, everybody else was taking it to heart.
What are you talking about? Taking it to heart? She was telling people not to eat beef. That's the reason why they sued her. She told them on her show, they said she had a highly influential show that was telling people not to eat beef and therefore affecting the beef industry, so they took her to court.
Right, but at that time, she really wasn't saying that. All she said was, I don't want to eat beef anymore.
No, James, you know she did more than that. You know she did more than that. She told people not to eat beef. That's what she was telling people to do.
No, what she put out is what everybody else puts out. All right, what everybody else puts out. She put out the numbers. All right, and she put out the numbers, and she was going with again with what brought her to the dance. She had her own stable of experts, and all of them were saying beef is bad for you.
Right, but the bottom line is, again,
what since she put it on her show, people were saying, wait a minute, when she put it on her show, people were saying, okay, well, this is her standpoint, this is her standpoint, this is where she is. Not only were they saying that she said it, but beef dropped in droves.
Bottom line is, what happened? She never did another quote-unquote expose again. That's my point, is that she stayed away from stories like that. She thought she was being an investigator in some sort of way, but what she was doing, her show is about influence. She's telling people Oprah's favorite things. Look what happens to the product.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You know,
right. So how can you say that she has never been political and it's never hurt her and she's never done it again?
Well, I said it hurt.
Because, again, there is Oprah's favorite things.
It did hurt her. It hurt her for a little while.
It did hurt her, but how long did it hurt her?
Oh, no, it didn't hurt her.
It only hurt her for like a little bit. And then not only that, but the same people who jumped off of beef jump back on
James, if you talk about apples and oranges, let's talk apples and oranges, if you will.
Okay.
You're talking about a conversation. You're talking about a show she did about beef versus being a kingmaker in creating the Hollywood sensation for a president that she helped get elected through her. Through her celebrity and her television show. No, think about that, James. We're not talking about people are going to choose whether or not to eat beef or not. That's your personal choice. But when you are fundamentally responsible for getting people behind a presidential candidate, you are getting this. We're talking about the position of the most powerful man in the world. It's a bigger. It's apples and oranges, James.
And as I said, all right, everyone is going to add apples and oranges. But as you said, she's never been, never been political before. But she's constantly been political.
I don't even if she doesn't
mean it, it's turned political.
I don't.
All right,
she's weathered
every storm.
I don't think that was a political. I don't think that's a great example of.
It turned into one.
I don't think so.
It did. There were lobbyists who went to Washington, D.C.
That's something completely different. That's something completely different.
How?
Because it's not
kingmaking. Is it not political?
Because it's not kingmaking.
If it did not turn into a political thing.
No, because we're talking about kingmaking. The President of the United States is a big deal. She had a huge part in that. Like it or not, she did. She had a huge part.
Okay, true. True, but once again, here it is, especially with Sarah Palin, where she didn't like Sarah Palin. It is her show. All right? She didn't believe in Sarah Palin. She shouldn't have to be forced to have Sarah Palin on her show. It's her show. You can't have one without the other. You can't say...
You gotta be kidding me, right?
Her show, is, you, now you're making it sound like her show is for her and not for her audience. She is there to entertain an audience. If she doesn't want to have Sarah Palin on her show and people are saying, hey, why don't you have Sarah Palin? We really like her. We'd love for you to interview her. And you say, I'm never going to have her on my show. You're turning your backs on your meal ticket. My man, your meal ticket is
Wait a minute. Hold up. How can you say it's her meal ticket? Because
how do you think Oprah makes her money?
Just by Republicans? That's it?
No, that's not what I said. Your audience, James.
It is a mixture of both.
James, the same noise that Barack Obama made as a new candidate that people were excited about, there was another part of the country that was very excited about Sarah Palin. And what they were asking was that if you're this person who's nonpartisan, you know, people are really excited about this Sarah Palin. We'd love her to be on Oprah's show, but Oprah refuses to have her on the show. It sounds like partisanship to me, James. And that's what
sounds like partisanship? Well, then, I guess you could say that about, you just said, what was it, Friday night, about the whole Coney 212?
Yes. Oh, by
right?
the way, that's
everyone's talking
out. That's turning out to swing my way. I'm turning out to be wrong on that story, too.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. The president of Uganda has already stepped up and says Coney hasn't been in the country for over 6 years.
Okay.
I believe he's been dead for
once
five.
Once again, though, when you said you refused to talk about it. Hold on. Because you've said yourself, Everyone, your fans, your supporters, everyone was saying, hey, you need to talk about this. Hey, you need to talk about this. And you said what?
I said, not until I get all the facts.
That's
now you're changing.
That's exactly what he said.
That's
what I said. I said, I'm not talking
about this. All right, not until you get all the facts. But how can you tell her that when she said she didn't want to do it, you said you didn't want to do it. Whatever the reason was, you still
said no. I didn't show any partisanship. I said there's something about it that stinks to high heaven. 77 million viewers, people are jumping onto this whole idea about the Coney 2012. I said until I have all the facts, I'm not touching this story. Hold on. I said because I don't jump on board. I don't swing the way that everybody goes, especially on a story like this, because something sounds fishy. And I didn't say, oh, it's not true, and I didn't completely denounce it. I said, something sounds fishy. I want all the facts before I start talking about this guy, Coney. And what do I find out? The president of Uganda is on Twitter, for crying out loud, talking about there's no Coney here. He hasn't been here for 6 years. And now this guy, aside from the fact that he was running around naked, grabbing himself and slamming his hands on the ground, thank you, TMZ, and the people who pulled over watching him. But no, it turns out.
What do you expect that man to say, the president of Uganda? What do you expect him to say?
The president of Uganda, the evidence shows that the guy hasn't been there, Coney hasn't been there in 6 years. This guy this year got over 100 million viral hits on his movie, and it turns out he's collecting money about a guy who isn't in Uganda and hasn't been there for half a decade.
All right. And he hasn't been there. Why?
Because that's what every report says. Everybody in Uganda says. They said, please.
Everybody in Uganda. The story is about Uganda. What do you expect them to say?
Excuse me. The people in Uganda. In fact, the story says that Coney has over a couple of thousand of these children in his army. It turns out it's not even 200. Then they said that he was doing all these atrocities in Uganda. The president of Uganda is telling people to come to the country. You'll find that there's no Coney here. And it hasn't been for 6 years. So that now the guy has lost his crap. He finally realizes that he's about to be busted and realizes that he's about to be exposed as a fraud. Because he collected all of this money.
So now you're, wait a minute, and you know this, again,
James, again, all you have to do, all
has
you have
he been
to
found
do,
out? Has, it, has there any? Has there been anything except for the word of the president of Uganda?
Of the president of Uganda?
Yeah, James. Yeah, wait.
Of the president of Uganda.
So you're telling
has
me
has there been anything else that either? Can I finish my question?
Go ahead.
Has there been any evidence, as you said, the numbers? Has there been any thing that either proves or disproves anything except for the words of these two people?
Actually, everyone from the Washington Times, National Review, MRC TV, Newsbusters, which is another MRC TV organization, and Breitbart have all reported that the claims about Kony in Uganda are false.
Ugandan people are getting on YouTube doing videos.
Yeah, the people in Uganda are even coming on and they're disputing this story.
Okay. All right.
So the guy is now setting up an insanity defense.
Right. Now the guy's going insane and he's out in the street grabbing himself because they said he can't deal with the pressures. He can't deal with the pressures. The exposure to Kony film has gotten. That's because over 100 million people have been duped. And celebrities who were jumping on board, like Rihanna, who now look like morons. Knee-jerk liberalism.
Oh, man, it's not even liberalism. It's not just liberalism either, man. Because, come on, man. All right, because the Republican Party got duped as well with, as a matter of fact, just off the top of my head, the whole Trump campaign.
We didn't get duped. Nobody believed that was going to happen.
Oh, please. Please. They were having polls on whether he could win or not.
Hey, you know what? Let me take a break because speaking of liberalism, when we come back, a Maryland school has removed their social studies books from third grade class. Wait until you find out why. It's an amazing story. Who says that the liberal media has not taken over our school system? Maryland, of all places. It's disgusting.
Crab Cake Central.
We'll be back in 3 Sunday Radio. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. 3 Sunday Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Twenty-seven minutes after the hour on this, your Reese on the Radio on BlogTalkRadio.com, and trust me when I tell you this story didn't baffle me. I wasn't stunned. I was not surprised. And I think that every parent should check their schools to find out whether or not this is happening where you live. A third-grade social studies textbook that some Frederick County, Maryland parents believed supported liberal beliefs will be replaced, according to the Frederick County Public Schools Superintendent Teresa Albin. In a letter sent Monday to the parent who flagged the textbook for review in May of 2011, says the textbook, which is called Social Studies Alive, Our Community and Beyond, will be removed from schools, but she does not commit to a deadline for the change. She cites the recommendation of a committee formed by the school system that the book be removed as soon as possible. Cindy Rose, a Knoxville resident who is seeking election to the school board this year, and other parents raised concerns about the text last year, saying it does not teach facts objectively. They also claimed it promotes liberal beliefs and ideologies on issues such as healthcare, public education, and government. In response, a committee of four school system employees and six members of the public began reviewing the textbook in September and decided this week that the book should be replaced, according to documents provided by Rose, provided to Rose by the Frederick County school officials. Let me just get to what this is. Okay. The text has been part of the county's social studies curriculum since 2004 and includes information about geography, economics, history, citizenship, and the environment.
The textbook is one of 15 to 20 printed online resources that Frederick County teachers use to teach third grade social studies. Discussions on ideology are appropriate for high school students, but said elementary children are too young to discuss them. Especially in the third grade, let's get facts. If we can convince them of the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, we can convince them that we need health care and daycare. So as it turns out, inside the article, or inside the textbooks, they were teaching kids about health care reform. They were also teaching kids about global warming. Parents were concerned about a number of items in the text, including a promotion of government-funded programs, the negative portrayal of affluent Americans, and global warming's and pro-environmental agenda. This in a social studies book. In a social studies book. My question, of course, is who says that our education system isn't run by liberals? Anybody care to dispute that?
Okay. Yeah.
You want to dispute that?
Well, first and foremost, just by what they said, it said that the books, first and foremost, it's still book banning, right?
Nope, it's not book banning.
Trying to get rid of books, right?
No. It's that there should be no liberalism or a mischaracterization of the facts in a social studies book. In other words, here's my point.
Okay, so
global warming. Global warming.
To who?
I'm telling you, global warming is not approved science. Tell me where it is.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah,
that's
it's not approved science, but you know what? Whole bunch of people figured the world was flat. That wasn't approved science. Rocket science wasn't approved science.
James?
Before
you
it was
you're really, really talking about the world being flat? How is global warming associated with the world being flat? James, we have the technology to prove that the world is round. Tell me where we have the technology to prove that there is global warming. There is none. With the technology that we have, we can predict when a thunderstorm or a tornado is coming to your town. How do we not have the science to prove that global warming exists?
First and foremost, we don't have the technology to predict in and of that word and the meaning of that word.
Okay, so hold on. We can accurately tell what the future weather is going to be, but we cannot tell whether or not...
No, not accurately.
Whoa.
Weathermen are always wrong.
Global warming, James, global warming is a past science, not a future science.
Okay.
In essence,
the past science.
Yeah,
and
past
we
science.
Can also
words,
say
based
that
on temperatures before. Hold on. Based on temperatures before, this proves today that the globe has warmed. So what did they do, James? When it was found out that we could not prove that the globe was warming, they then changed the term to climate change. James, if you live in New York, you're subject to climate change every 3 months. Climate change is an arbitrary statement. Climate change? They don't even use global warming anymore. They use climate change. So where is it a proved science? They don't even use global warming anymore.
And why? Because it was such a hot button topic.
No, because it was disproven. They said
how has global warming been disproven?
I'll tell you. Because the scientists who were actually caught in East Anglia, they were caught. 50,000 of their emails were broken into by a hacker. The New York Times had the article that the hacker who got into the emails at East Anglia, where all of the globe's foremost scientists who had been working for every government in the country, they had been caught faking the science. They were fudging the numbers. It was a money-making scheme. In fact, this country was so caught up in it, they caused President Obama to dedicate $100 billion, pardon me, to the global warming effort in 2009, until it was found out that the emails were false.
So wait a minute.
The emails were falsified.
Hold on. So you mean to tell me that the people writing down the numbers were lying?
Yes. They openly said in their emails that anyone who, because there was a strong group of people who were saying, these scientists are not telling the truth. It's a money-making scheme. Hold on. It's a money-making scheme so that powerful nations would be literally duped out of billions of dollars and that they would continue to get grants from governments to pay for their funding. The scientists
right.
kept – hold on. The scientists
so the people
kept
who...
– No, no, no,
so
no.
Again.
They were making up the numbers. We're talking about scientists here who were hired by governments. Again, hold on.
Okay. That's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking was
– No.
Don't go
back into the old CDC story that we did earlier. We're talking about this. The point remains is that there has been no proof of global warming. The emails at East Anglia proved that not only were they fudging the numbers, but they were telling them in the emails that anyone who tries to prove otherwise, to silence them.
Mm.
Even Al Gore was citing numbers. He won an Academy Award for Inconvenient Truth. Here's a guy who put out a movie theater directed by David Guggenheim. And guess what was in the movie? In a picture of the globe, he had 7 tornadoes. After further review, it turns out that 2 of the tornadoes, or hurricanes I should say, were not only spinning by the equator, which is impossible, they were spinning the wrong way. And this film won an Academy Award.
Wow.
Yeah. Read on it. The Inconvenient Truth was a hoax. And Al Gore got busted. They don't even – and they had kids going to school to see – I mean, going to the movie theater to see this movie. They were taking kids on field trips to go see The Inconvenient Truth. And it was all bogus. So, again, no truth that global warming exists. In fact, since they've been able to keep numbers – the world hasn't cooled a percentage point. I mean, pardon me, hasn't warmed a percentage point. Not even a percentage point.
Are the polar ice caps melting?
Of course they are, James. They're supposed to.
Yes. And if the world isn't warming...
James?
I mean, if it's... Wait a minute. Hold on, man. Because if everything is static... as you say, then the polar ice caps should stay where they are.
Wrong.
Right?
Wrong. Absolutely.
How?
Not. Because it's ice, James. And
ice. Ice does what?
What? Ice does several things, James. It's a living organism. It's water. And just like anything that is a living organism with molecules, they shift. Even frozen, James.
Right, shift. They shift.
Yeah, they shift. So,
but
guess what? But guess what, James?
Hold on.
They don't melt. They just fall. They don't melt. They fall.
They don't fall. Wait a minute. Whoa. What?
Yes, James. It's an ice
if
structure.
If it falls, it melts.
Rock.
Right?
James?
It shifts from one to the other. How does
James?
It shift, Reese?
James,
wait
I'll
a minute.
Tell you. James,
how
I'll
does
tell
it
you.
Shift, Reese?
James, I'll tell you. You ever heard of metal drip?
Metal drift?
Drip. Do you know what metal drip is?
Metal drip? What is metal drip, Reese?
Please tell me. Make a steel door and put it in your apartment and keep it there for 50 years. For 50 years. Eventually, at the bottom of your door, the bottom of your door will get wider. Why does that happen, James? It's metal.
Why does that happen?
It's metal.
Oh,
it's metal,
yes,
James.
Yes, metal. And
it's
it also
ice.
Has to deal... Oh, come on, man. See? Hold on, dog. Because You know what? You're not looking at the whole science. All right? You're not. All right? Yes, metal separates. Metal expands. So does wood. So does everything else. Okay?
Right.
Everything goes from a solid to a liquid to a gas. How does that happen?
Not through melting, James.
How does anything melt? It gets heated up.
A metal door? Are you telling me that a metal door eventually drips because of heat inside a building? What heat, James?
The thing is, no. What I'm saying is the fact that with a metal door or any solid, let's not even just deal with metal, all right? Any solid, okay? There is a static point of molecules. They stay together.
James, let's get back to global warming.
Now you want to change the subject?
No. I was on global warming. We changed the subject to ice caps. But I want to go further. Let's go further.
Okay, global warming, all right?
Yes.
With global warming, all right, as things warm up, their molecules shift. Do they not?
Please explain to me why there is no polar ice caps melting in Antarctica.
There are no polar ice caps. Who's to say they're not?
There's never been a report of it, James. In fact, the only time they ever talk about it is when they're talking about the North Pole, because it does what, James? It tilts toward and away from the sun, just as Antarctica does. But no one's ever talking about Antarctica's ice caps melting. Why?
You know what?
Well, wait.
Mr. Hopkins, if it was pointing towards the sun or just away from the sun, if it freezes, it stops.
Well, that's
the
funny.
The molecules become static.
Why is it snowing in Northern California today?
Well, a shift in the
climate.
A shift in the polar axis.
Really?
Okay.
It's 70 degrees in Montana.
Excuse me?
It's 70 degrees in Montana. That's north of California.
Right, north of California.
So how
right? In Montana is usually what?
Cold, James.
Usually cold.
And
it's usually cold.
And why is California snowing? They got 2 feet yesterday, by the way.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Chicago was hotter than Miami yesterday.
Which is usually colder.
Yeah, Chicago was 10 degrees.
So Chicago
than
was
Miami.
Warming up.
And so does that mean that Miami
if it's
was
getting hotter?
Does that mean that Miami was going through a freezing point? If global warming, if it's hot in Chicago, wouldn't it be burning in Miami?
It doesn't make any sense, right?
I mean, it doesn't. Miami is down in the south.
It does make sense because with
everything would be warm if Chicago's warm. Everybody would be on fire if Chicago's warm in March.
No,
why would Miami be
that does, again. You're just going with the black and the white. All right, again. If one part is warming up, then it changes the climate of another part.
Okay, fair enough.
It's like the butterfly effect.
Okay, fine. Let me ask you this. What's the image that every one of these alarmists always show you in the polar ice caps, with the exception of the melting, as you put it, ice caps? What's the other image that they always show you? Think animal.
A polar bear.
They always show you a polar bear, right? James?
Mm-hmm.
What do they always show you the polar bears doing?
Migrating.
No. What do they always show you when they want to talk about global warming? What's the image they always show you of the polar bear? What's he doing?
Or laying down.
Dying?
No, he's always
swimming, looking for land.
He's floating
on
a sheet of ice, right?
No.
Every picture you see is they always talk about that, and you see, watch The Inconvenient Truth. You'll see a mother cub, I mean a mother bear with her cubs, and the, and sure enough, the, they'll be floating on a sheet of ice. But what's the one thing they never tell you about polar bears?
That's how they live.
Oh, nobody knows? That the polar bear can swim 30 miles.
Yeah.
Do people know that?
When? So?
Well,
it doesn't matter if they can swim 30 miles, but if they're not, why are they trying to swim anyway? Because, frankly, polar bears are territorial, are they not?
No. No, they're not. No, they move in packs just like every other animal. They're not territorial.
Sure, but yeah, they move from one area, but that has nothing to do with the climate of the area. It has to do with food.
But they're swimming, and guess where there's food all the time?
In the water.
In the water, which is why they would be swimming on a sheet of ice. They would be floating on a sheet of ice because they went swimming to go get food. But they never
they went swimming to go get food, but they're floating on a sheet of ice that broke off from their feeding ground.
It doesn't matter whether or not the sheet broke off. That happens, but the ice sheet is still frozen, and it can support the weight of a polar bear.
It can support the weight up until how long? Until it moves into warmer waters.
If it does, but the point is that...
Yes, it does. And then what happens to that polar bear? What happens to their cubs?
You're speculating. You're speculating.
I'm speculating? Oh, come on, Reese.
Bears, wait, hold on, hold on. Has there been a shortage of polar bears? Are they endangered species?
Actually, polar bears are going extinct.
Really? Where did you read this?
No, they're not.
No, they're not. They're not going extinct. I'll give you another one. When they always talk about pollution...
I'm
going to
check this out right now.
Hold on, hold on. What's the one thing they always show you when they talk about pollution in the air? What's the image that these global warming alarmists always show you about pollution in the air?
Smokestacks.
They show you what?
Smokestacks.
Smokestacks, right?
And a bomb.
Mm-hmm. They always show you smokestacks. Now, I'm going to ask you this. What is normally coming out of the smokestack?
Smoke.
Really?
Well, no. Ventilation.
What's coming out of the smokestack? What color is it?
Damn.
Black?
No,
black
it's not.
Smoke.
No, it isn't. Check again. It ain't black. And if it is black, I'll prove to you that it's not poison. Because you know what every alarmist will tell you? Is that each and every one of those smokestacks is shooting out CO2. Is that correct? CO2 is carbon monoxide.
No, not always, no. Not always, no.
No, no, no. Then what else is coming out of there? Because the EPA, says that CO2 is the gas that causes global warming, and factories are in China, in New York, in Florida, in San Francisco, in California, are the biggest offenders of CO2 emissions. That's what they tell you. That's what every EPA person tells you.
Okay. All right.
So,
now,
hold on.
Along those
hold
lines,
on.
Let me
hold
ask you
on,
a question.
James. Very important that I make this point. James, what do you exhale?
CO2.
Where's the black smoke coming from your lungs?
We are not putting it out.
Sure we
in
are.
Enough
in fact,
concentration,
in fact,
it's black.
Wrong, James. According to the EPA, that's the reason why they wanted to have this carbon bill called cap and trade. They were going to charge every human being for the CO2 that they emitted. That's the reason why the legislation was crashed. Yep, that's the bottom line. Is because we emit CO2, but yet I don't breathe out any black dust as they claim that the CO2 coming out of smokestacks is. CO2 is invisible. Why would it be coming out of a smokestack? That's because what's coming
out of
the smokestack.
But again, it is our emissions, whether it's just CO2 or everything or anything else added to that CO2, it does have a detrimental effect.
Prove it.
All right? Just the fact that it's black Just look at Los Angeles, all right, where they have smog days. And when you have high smog days, what do you usually get? High heat.
James, can I ask you a question?
Of cars.
Which is more, yeah, that's right, which is more dangerous?
From cars, from whatever. Hold on. The thing is.
Which is more dangerous, carbon monoxide or a volcano?
Carbon monoxide, but think about it is, how many times do you see a volcano?
Ooh, that's interesting, James. Do you know how many active tornadoes are in North America? Active volcanoes in North America.
Okay. Active volcanoes in North America. How big are they?
Oh, we're talking Mount St. Helen for one in Washington. Remember that one?
Mount St. Helen, and that only...
Dude, it's a mountain. Dude, it's a mountain.
It's a mountain.
Okay? It's okay. Like Everest. It's huge.
Again, there is, but you still have to deal with the ecosystem.
James,
all right?
Again,
Earth rates itself.
What?
All right. The thing is, if it was just left up to just the Earth, then volcanoes wouldn't matter a hill of beans.
James,
all right?
My question
is... But we're adding to it, Reese.
No, we're not.
We're adding to it.
No, we're not. James, no, we're not. There's no truth to that. You know how many people are in the world? You know how many people in the world? Why is it that there hasn't been this mass destruction? Remember, they said this in 1971 when Earth Day started. They said that if we continued on the path that we were going, we wouldn't survive past 1997.
Well, a whole bunch of people have said that, man. There's been the whole Mayan calendar. We should have been dead in 2000. Then there was, what was that guy who was proven wrong twice? All right, there's always going to be the naysayers. The thing is, whether it happens today, next week, or in 1,000 years, the fact of the matter is,
you believe in global warming.
Using up our resources faster than we can replenish them.
Wrong, James. Wrong. 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 You couldn't be more wrong. You couldn't be more wrong. It's just what they tell you, buddy. There's no truth to it. You're being propagandized by leftist lunatics.
And it's not just leftists.
Oh, no, there were a couple of...
Hasn't been years. Hasn't been in centuries. All right? As a matter of fact, it tends to flip back and forth.
James, it's sad that you are absolutely taken by these people. I can't believe it.
It's sad that you were trying to... propagandize your agenda, don't see that there is a writing on the wall here.
That's just sad.
You want me to send you two to your room?
Yeah, I think you need to.
We started out about Oprah. I don't know where we got into global warming, but...
No, we just went into something else. I just wanted to make sure. We were talking about that this liberal agenda in our schools. And James is obviously... read in, he took it hook, line, and sinker. He's a believer.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's right. It's stopping.
It's sad. I believed in him. I used to believe in him. I just don't anymore. We'll be back in Streets on the Radio. Yeah. Right where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out because he was Chinese. I was like, "Why is he talking like that?" Was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He was from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like, he didn't need to talk. I know just what he was talking about. I looked right back at him. I was like, some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, "Oh my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us." We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letters. They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport. You're not going to see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They terrorists. They know the black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, "Hello? We have got 5 black... Hello?"
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the radio with 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. The point, I'm not joking.
Our good man Joe Biden right there, racist he is, from a slave state, his words, not mine, Delaware. Anyway, we're going to wrap up the show here. Let good old Kool-Aid Man get in a parting shot. We don't want to know. Not get an opportunity to defend his wild and crazy leftist views. Hey, let me ask you a quick question, James.
You.
With all of this war on women and Rush Limbaugh's comments and... Do you think it was appropriate for CeeLo Green to be singing the F.U. song at an Obama fundraiser? A song about another woman he's telling F.U.?
Another woman who's dealing with another person. You know what? I'm not getting into that. All right? Look, apparently, whoever signed him up
and no one said anything to him while he was doing the song or before he went on. So if they accepted it, who am I to say yes or no?
That's our show.
We let James have the last word.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. Same back time, same back channel, right here on Resetter Radio. We love you. Good night.